should have been given a sheet when you came out. Sorry, when you came in. When you came in this morning, you should have been given a sheet. And we invite you to share with us in this reading, which has actually been adapted from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning to read at verse 36. We invite you to join with us in this as we share together, reading the part where it says congregation. You're invited to share in that with you. We'll just adjust the mic for you, Miriam. Okay. So reading from your sheet, and it follows on from the journey where Jesus had met the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and the disciples had returned to Jesus to tell the others all about it.
While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you.
Lord, come to us and give us your peace."
They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts?"
God, sometimes your ways disturb us, but help us to believe.
Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is myself. Touch me. See, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and when he took it and ate it in their presence,
"Lord, forgive us when we fail to recognize your presence among us."
Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that Moses is the Messiah is to suffer and to raise from the dead on that third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem."
God, you have loved your creation since time began. Help us to see Jesus as the supreme expression of that love.
You are witnesses of these things.
Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses to your love. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. I wonder if any of you had any Easter cards. Who had any Easter cards this Easter? No, keep your hands up. Who's still got Easter cards up in the house? Oh, praise the Lord, because we're still in the Easter season, aren't we? That's fantastic. Well done. You know, we get Christmas cards. They start at the beginning of December, don't they? And we have them up, and then, you know, it gets well into towards the 5th of January, we're all glad to take them down. And we keep those up a long time. But Easter, we tend to just stick them up on Good Friday and take them down on Easter Monday. And that's Easter done with, and now we're thinking about our summer holidays. But actually, we're still in the season of Easter. And we're still remembering and thinking about the resurrection experiences and still thinking about those witnesses and the disciples and what they were telling others. And the appearances of Christ, those are still going on and will be for the disciples over the 6 weeks up until Jesus was taken up and ascended into heaven. And following that, of course, we remember the Pentecost and the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit. On Easter Sunday morning at the 8 o'clock communion, we were thinking about the need to live in the truth of Easter Sunday. And we were reflecting that for many of us, we live in Easter Saturday time, as though Christ were not alive. And this morning, as we look at our lives and examine how we live and the words that we say and our attitudes and our thinking, what kind of witnesses are we to the risen Lord Jesus? A lot of what we sung this morning has spoken about Jesus being alive and the truth of that, of what God has done for us, about his love for us. But what do our lives reflect when we go outside of these doors? What is present in our conversation? What are the things that we talk about to one another? And these are the things that we're going to be thinking about today. Those of you that were in early this morning would have seen on the screen an optical illusion, which I'm hoping will appear before our eyes in a couple of seconds. Is the bottle really inside the truck? What do you think? Is the bottle inside the truck? Hands up those who think it's no. Those who think it's yes. Oh, there's one or two that think yes. What's the answer? Do we have the answer?
It's the way that the trailer's been painted. So
right.
The precise angle, the bottle marries up with the rear of the truck. The truck is actually a three-dimension, but the picture on the truck is two-dimension.
Right, right.
You wouldn't.
Yeah, I see. You get that? So if you actually came round and stood here and look at the truck, you wouldn't see that. But so it is an optical illusion. Okay, have we got another one? Yeah. Oh, what's strange in this picture then? What's happening? It's all kind of going upwards, isn't it? Kind of climbing upwards towards the sky at the top. Is that correct? Have we?
It's
right here, yes. Just up there. I need one of those red light things, don't I? Yeah. All right, that's clever, isn't it? Right, what animal is this? Rabbit, somebody's saying? A duck? Yeah? Yeah? What is it, Scott? All right. Whatever you think. So this is a really interesting one, and thanks for this one particularly, because this brings out my point that what you're seeing, your brain is trying to rationalise and equate with something that you already know. So therefore, you're thinking it's a bit like a duck because of the bill on it, but actually, it's been made up. It's a made-up thing. You could call it whatever you wanted. But our brains are trying to flick through all the files that there are there and think, what's the nearest thing that I can equate this with? Have we? Yeah. Oh, now this is quite a famous one. What do you see? Right. Who sees a vase?
Yes.
And who sees two faces? Yeah. It's the different way that your mind works. Yeah. That's right. And how many shells can you see? Oh, that's an interesting one as well, isn't it? Three at this side and four at that side. How many are there actually, Scott? It's an optical illusion. Left. There's four. Yeah. Is that? And we don't. Yeah. Thank you very much. Put my teeth back in. Optical illusions, you see. And as I was saying about that one with the animal particularly, our minds try to make sense of what we see. So for the disciples, Jesus standing amongst them, what would their minds be saying? This must be a ghost. This must be an illusion. This has never happened before. They hadn't come across it in their experience. And how many times in our Christian experience does that happen? How many times do people say to us, oh, the Lord's done this for me, and we've not actually known that or experienced that in, for ourselves, and therefore we're thinking, well, no, I'm not quite sure about that. And Jesus understood this. Jesus understood that for the disciples, and he understood the truth of that. And that was why he said to them, come, put your hands here. Look at my hands, look at my feet, look at my sides. And then he said to them, have you got anything to eat? And everybody knows that ghosts don't eat, you know? And yet he had this fish. And you can just imagine the disciples there, all of their senses being used in what was happening. They could see him, he spoke their name, they could hear him, they could smell the fish, they tasted the fish, they ate it with him, and he invited them to reach out and touch. There was that program, I've forgotten his name now, I was trying to think, you know, and it, that really cross old man who was always, and he used to say, I don't believe it. Can you remember? Yeah, you know the one I'm talking about. Victor Meldrew, that was it, yeah. It was quite a common phrase in our household at one time. I don't believe it. And you can understand the disciples saying that. And last week we were thinking about Thomas, weren't we? And how he said, unless this happens, I won't believe it. And yet the moment when Jesus appeared before him and spoke his name, he was down on his knees before him, my Lord and my God. And his affirmation of Jesus was far stronger than any of the other disciples. And yet again in this situation we find also that Jesus brings his peace. Peace be with you. But he didn't bring his peace so that these disciples who were locked in an upper room could stay there in a nice cozy place and continue to enjoy themselves together. He had a purpose for them. His resurrection appearance, it was a purpose behind it. And when Jesus meets with us today, there is a purpose behind it. Jesus does not meet with us today so that he can keep us in the place that we are and say, there, don't worry about it. You know, it's a shame that all these things have happened to you, but it's okay. You just get on with it. It's all right. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus comes, and sometimes he begins to prod us with things that hurt us and makes us realise things that perhaps we need to address. Sometimes he can make it a bit uncomfortable for us as well, but always with that purpose of moving us on, of helping us to go out to tell others, which is what happened here with these particular disciples, but also for helping us in our spiritual walk that we can move on as well. So sometimes we have to find ways of exploring and expressing what we don't always understand. And I remember when Rachel first started her dietetics and she was working with some older people and she was trying to encourage them to eat broccoli because we know that there's vitamin C and one of the green vegetables and it's very good for you. And the older ones, which I think possibly would be a generation perhaps older than most of us who are here, didn't like broccoli and called it trees. I remember you telling me that. You know, trees, because they'd never seen broccoli really, and, you know, as children they'd never eaten it. And so, again, there's that trying to relate something to what they knew. So I've never really thought about broccoli in quite the same way since then, I have to say. So Jesus was really keen that the disciples understood that this wasn't an illusion. And in the same way today, God is really keen that we understand the truth of Jesus, understand that his resurrection is not an illusion, that his resurrection is fact, is truth, and that we too can meet the risen Lord Jesus. Now, something strange happened in the service earlier this morning, something that doesn't... Probably a lot of strange things that happened in the service this morning, actually. But anyway, we'll see what comes out. But there was something that was particularly planned that was strange and unusual this morning. So what I'd like you to do is there are about 6 pieces of paper and pencils scattered around in the congregation. I'd like you to get into little huddles and write down your account of what happened this morning that was unusual. I'm looking at a few blank faces, but... So, there you are. If you really got no idea, I can give you a rough idea when about in the service it happened. But I'd like you to try and, first of all, see. Does anybody know? There was one main thing that happened that was unusual. It wouldn't normally happen. But there might have been other things that you thought were unusual. Last song that we sang just before the children went out. Adult! No, write it down. Write it down, please. You've got a bit of a clue there. You just take it round to group and just ask people. Some people didn't see it at all. Some people had a better view than others. Those that were nearer saw a little bit more about what was going on. How different is giving an eyewitness account of an event like that? How different is that to giving a witness of our account of Jesus? Is it different? How is it different?
Well, it's in your heart.
Yeah. Yeah, in your heart, as to be able to talk about Jesus, so it's what's going on in there. So it's more personal related. You are witnessing to what is going on in your life rather than giving witness of what is happening or what you have seen in somebody else. So whilst they might be hearing your witness, you are bearing witness about what has gone on. So, let's have a think. Who knows good news? Has anybody got any good news? While you're thinking about your good news, I just need to... I'm sure the Lord allowed this to happen for a reason. Some of you know that I don't particularly enjoy speaking with Jehovah's Witnesses. If it's possible, I kind of avoid that conversation. And the other day, I really sensed God's sense of humour. However, I was on the bus, I'd got on this bus, and there was a lady who was sat on the bus, and she got up, she went to the front, she got one of the free papers, and she came back, and I thought she looked a bit sheepish and a bit, you know, a bit nervous. So, of course, my usual encouraging self gave her a big smile. So she came and sat next to me. She said, oh, there's all bad news in this paper, isn't there? You know, never any good news. And I said, oh, well, you know, that's not... And then she said... I wonder if he'd like this magazine. And of course, he said. And I thought, oh, Lord, I can't get out of here. She sat on this side of me. How can I get out? And so from Oldham to home, we were talking about. So I did tell her about Easter, and I did tell her about what we did. And it was interesting because Good Friday, they have a memorial. And anyway, I won't bore you with all that. But the thing is, that was how she was introducing it, you see, that it was all doom and gloom, but Jesus was going to come back and make everything right and all the rest of it. But what I noticed was, and I got off the bus, I turned round to have a look because the bus was sailing away, and she plonked herself next to somebody else. And I thought, oh, you know, she's going to... And that challenged me as well, because I thought, well, I don't do that, you know. Oh, have you? Yeah. So you know her life story as well. Yeah. Right, so that's giving you time to think. Good news. Who's got any good news? Any kind of good news? Oh, 20-week scan on Thursday. But you're all going. Yeah, all three of you. Yeah, Linda? Oh, right. Is that a family holiday?
Yeah. I don't
Anything else? Oh, lovely. John?
Stop raining.
Yeah, that's good news. Yeah, what else? So she can have a rest. And what other good news?
I've got a new front door.
A new front door?
My granddaughter has taken her brownie badge.
Right. Yep. Anything else? Right, that's good news, Mary, isn't it? Anything else? All right.
And another one has had a poem published in a book.
Is that the ones that used to come here, Margaret?
Natalie.
Ah, oh, right. Yeah. No, right, good. Anything else? Oh, Christine's having a 16th birthday party. If anybody wants to go, the invitations are out.
Again.
John?
Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive. Right. Flowers are beautiful. Anything else?
Thank God for yesterday and all the blessed features. Wonderful news to see so many people being here. Thank you for saying it this week. What a wonderful time we had.
Yeah, don't preempt that. But yeah, I'll put it on. Right, lots of good news then. When we went to the NWBA meeting on Tuesday at Oldham Baptist Church there, Phil Jump was talking about sharing good news and people sharing good news. He was talking about when he was down in London and there was a lady there who was walking along the side. I think it was in London. Anyway, it don't matter. But he was walking along the side and she came up and she said, oh, Sainsbury's, they're selling cream cakes, 10p a bag because they're selling them off. And when he got down there, they were queued right out. And as they were going along, they said, how did you know about that? Oh, well, this particular woman, I think she was called Mary, but anyway, she told me, and he was saying about how we enjoy passing on good news. These are all the things this morning that when I asked you what good news you knew that you were able to say. Interestingly, when Helen asked you how God had been working in your work, in your life and things, we weren't as quick to be able to share. Now, Phil was drawing out that this is interesting because a lot of people, if you talk about evangelism to them, they start thinking, well, I can't do that. A bit like I was thinking with that woman on the bus, really. I couldn't do that. But actually, these kind of things we can do and we do all the time. We don't just tell one another that. We tell other people, don't we? We tell our families and so forth. And embodied within all of these things is the presence of Christ. Christ, the gifting that he's given to Miriam in order that she was able to take up the curtains. The fellowship that Mary and Miriam enjoy through their love of Jesus. The family that God has given to Christine and to Linda, the new life that he has given to Rachel and Scott, and to all of us in that family as well. The beautiful flowers and the gifting that Lila has and her willingness to use that. There's lots of things. Margaret's granddaughters, their gifting and ability. the opportunity for Jennifer to be on holiday and sharing with one of her past pastors, and Christ being present in that situation, an opportunity for her to receive rest and refreshment and help at a time when she's struggling with her own sister's difficulties. All these things, you see, embodied in it is Christ. And so we are bearing witness to the life of Christ. It's just that we don't recognize it. So when we start talking about evangelism, and when we start talking about, well, how are we going to share God with our community, what we're really saying is, how can we become aware of what we're already doing? And how can we improve what we're already doing? Without thinking that, oh, I could never do that. That would have to be somebody else that does that. Because it's all there, ready. Now, one of the things in this that Christine mentioned was the food bank. And again, I think you remember a few weeks ago we had a PowerPoint presentation about the Trussell Trust and the food bank that's been set up in Oldham. And there was people were invited to help and give their names to do at Sainsbury's this last week. So I'm going to invite Arthur and Christine and Val to come out and just to share the experiences of what happened there, please. And in our church anniversary celebrations, we will be thinking of some of the ways that we share the good news here and the things that God has been doing. But just very briefly, I tell you that the Pray Love Manchester starts next week. It runs from Monday the 30th. No, it's not next week, it's the week after, Monday the 30th to the 7th of May. But it's a time of continuous prayer for the city of Manchester. And that's an opportunity. I'll put this up in the hall there. There's some daytime outreach events that are being held at St Anne's Church. And I know some of you nip down into Manchester, so most of them are from 12 noon. So if people are interested in that, then that's out there. But again, that's sharing the good news, isn't it? We can pray here, back in Failsworth. We can go there and share with other people. It's all part of sharing the good news. And again, as I say, with the NWBA event, we've got a leaders and deacons meeting on Thursday when we'll be meeting and sharing about how the local churches here can respond to Chris Duffett, who's the evangelist. He's coming in as the incoming president of the Baptist Union, and how we can work alongside him is visiting the NWBA in January for a weekend, Friday to Monday. And there will be one main event that Chris Duffett will be at, but then also local churches are invited to get involved in evangelistic work that particular weekend. But everybody is saying it's not just a one-off, but we should be aiming for that to be part of our continual work. And so that's where we're going and how we're thinking about. Right, they're doing work with the Olympics. Are they putting Bibles in the, the Olympic team? So again, that's sharing good news, isn't it, Sheila? Yeah, yeah. You had an afternoon on Saturday, didn't you? Yeah. Good, yeah. Good. Right. Yeah. That's good. And in the WIC walk that we've got, we're considering purchasing some little leaflets. Those of you that, when it was the World Cup, we had some booklets that we gave out. We're going to give out some booklets that are connected with the Olympics again. So all these are ways in which we're part and parcel of sharing the good news of Jesus. But you see, those disciples, they were locked in that room, and they were locked in by fear. And we can be locked in by fear, that very fear that I was saying about earlier, that oh, I can't say anything. And yet Jesus wants us to set us free from that. Jesus came into the room, shared with the disciples, encouraged them to see and to touch and to taste, to experience him in the fullness of their senses, but not to stay there, but to go out and to be his witnesses. You will be my witnesses, he said. For the disciples, they had to wait until Pentecost, till they got the power that enabled them to go outside. That power is already available for us because we live this side of Pentecost. So we don't have to wait till Whit Sunday. We can have it now. It's available to us. All that is required is our will and our obedience. And so we ask ourselves, how special is Jesus to me? Will I reflect him in what I say, in how I live my life, in my attitude, in my responses? Helen has already mentioned in her prayer time about Tobias going in for this operation later this week, and Clifford and I have decided that it's right that we call the church to a day of prayer and fasting on Tuesday. Now, I know many of you, I know it's not particularly a practice that we do a lot in this church. It's not something we're particularly familiar with. And B, I know that many of you are not able to give up meals, and I'm not asking you to do that. What I'm asking you to do is perhaps if you have a pudding, to have a piece of fruit instead. If you have a piece of fruit, perhaps to consider going without that piece of fruit. If you really can't give up any food, perhaps to have some hot water instead of a cup of tea. Just something that stands you alongside, that says, Lord, we are intentional about this prayer. We'll be including prayers for Tobias on Tuesday in our prayer time, and everyone is welcome to come to that. And Clifford and I will be praying with him before he goes in as well. But this is a time, as a church family, we promised at Tobias's christening, at his baptism, that we would stand together with this family. And this is a way that we can show that and demonstrate it. A way in which we can witness of our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, that he will be at work in this young boy's life. So that's on Tuesday, and I invite you to join with us in that. So, as we go out from here, will others know that we believe in the risen Lord Jesus? That's our challenge today.